Well, since last Saturday at morning mass, we've been reading in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, and all week I've been preaching on those texts from Isaiah. Today, we move from Isaiah to Micah, who was a contemporary of the great prophet, also lived in the southern country of Judah at the end of the 700s and in the early 600s. And whereas in our Isaiah readings, the focus was on two kings, a bad king by the name of Ahaz and his good son, who was one of the most godly kings, Hezekiah. Today, Micah moves from focusing on the kings to focusing on the wealthy of Jerusalem. And the thing that he is focusing on is their exploitative attitude and actions towards the poor. Three things are highlighted in this text. The evil machinations of the wealthy, that's verses 1 and 2. God's reaction to their evil doings in verses 3 and 4. And then the consequence that will result from God's judgment. So listen again to the attitude of Jerusalem's wealthy. Alas, for those who devise wickedness and evil deeds on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it because it's in their power. They covet fields and seize them, houses and take them away. They oppress householder and house, people and their inheritance. These people are doing three things. They are planning, they are plotting, and they are carrying out evil deeds. Two words are used in these verses for sin. The first is the word wickedness, and the second is the word evil. Wickedness in this context refers to the abuse of power in ways that they use that power unethically and illegally. Evil refers to those things that are abomination in the eyes of God. So what's happening here? At nighttime, these wealthy are on their beds and they're plotting how they can in the morning illegally practice a form of expropriation where they are taking from the poor both their land and their homes. They could do this because they controlled the power structures of their society. They had the attitude, might makes right, and that's how they lived. The very ease with which they did evil showed how calculating their manipulations were. Money was their god. The more they had, the more they wanted. Now, how contrary this is to how the Lord desires for the wealthy to use their resources. Indeed, in Proverbs chapter 3 at verse 27, we have this very clear teaching. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in your power to act. So wealth is to be used in such a ways that it results in good ends, that which is in your power to do. Power is to be used in the service of the good. And when it is not, there are severe consequences that are described by God's response to what he sees. So at verse 3, we have this verse. Therefore, thus says the Lord, now I am devising against this family an evil from which you cannot remove your necks, and you shall not walk haughtily, for it will be an evil time. Now, did you hear at verse 1? It said of the wealthy, alas, those who devise wickedness. Now in verse 3, God is saying, now I am devising. The same verb is being used. God is devising against this family an evil. So what's going to happen? Well, we have to understand the historical context in order to appreciate what this verse means. The disaster was probably the Assyrian captivity, or perhaps the Assyrian invasion that happened in Jerusalem in the year 701 BC. From this, these people would not be able to extricate themselves. And that's described by this vivid image. You will not be able to remove this yoke from your necks. One commentator had a very beautiful way of expressing this. And he put it like this: these people will not bend to God's easy yoke. We had that passage the other day, didn't we? When Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." These people would not bend to God's easy yoke, so they will feel his iron yoke. And there's something about this that is very important to realize. The evil can think that we can get away with murder and we will never be held accountable for it. But the scripture teaches us very clearly, and we see it in verse 5 of this chapter, what the consequence will be. The last verse of our reading today said, "Therefore you will have no one to cast the line by lot in the assembly of the Lord." When I read that last night, I said to myself, I have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. And you might think the same thing. So here's the principle. Every 49 years, there was what was called the year of Jubilee, when land would be restored to its rightful family. And this would be done by lot. Here, what Micah is saying, you wealthy, in the year of Jubilee, when land is restored, you're not going to be part of that because you have expropriated land illegally. There will be no one from your family line to cast a lot so that you can share in the assembly of God's people. The lands confiscated by the enemy would never be restored to these land barons. Now, what does all of this mean for us? There is nothing more important than a sense of place in our lives. There's nothing more important than having maybe that piece of land, that home, that we can call our own. And one of the things that is striking is how often through history, people have had their lands taken from them, and the consequences for the societies have been devastating. As I was reflecting on this, it struck me of conversations I've had with parishioners who've come from countries where today these very practices are happening. And they've had to leave those countries in order to come to a land where there is more of a due process of law, and where private property is respected. As Canadians, we can kind of take this for granted and say, oh yeah, this is just the way that it is. But today's readings challenge us to realize that for many, many people throughout the world, this is not their experience. Their experience is like the poor in this reading from Micah. So in conclusion, may we first of all be thankful that we live in a country where our property is respected. We live in a country where people from countries with names like Venezuela are coming here because they want to have a sense of peace and security. Indeed, there might be some of you here this morning that you know firsthand something of what this experience is like. I don't, but God does. And ultimately, the lot will be cast, not in this world, but in the world to come. And any injustice that is not satisfied here will be satisfied then. I've taken time to unpack this passage from the Old Testament because it has so much to teach us about the true way of living, about God's desire for true justice, equity, and balance. May we at St. Peter's always be a welcoming community, and may we recognize that we have brothers and sisters amongst us who have experienced this profound form of exploitation, and I am very glad that they are my brothers and sisters, and may we all feel the same.